this was the first time I actually told somebody that I wanted to do a part two. We tried to get everything in, but we definitely had too much to talk about. And all the time in the world right now and exactly what you have personally going on today and this week makes this the perfect time to talk. So for those that don't know who you are and haven't heard episode 4, reintroduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump in.
So what's up, man? Hey, first and foremost, I want to say thanks for leaning on me, being on this dope podcast with my boy AJ, man. It's a blessing to be over here just to see how he flourishing, man, just be able to connect with people. But my name is Arthur Lyle. I'm a barber, entrepreneur, and author. I do all of those things, but I'm really under one name. I call myself just an entrepreneur. And with that being said, like, I started with just a dollar and a dream, and I think that's really the basis and the core of what I've done. Everything I've accomplished, which is open barbershops and help other people writing books and help other people write books. Ultimately, I'm just a source to help other people build, you know, their dream as if I had built my own. And right now I own a barbershop, 12 years in the making, and going and growing, man. So just connected with AJ or Anthony. I don't know what you call it. I call him AJ. That's my A-Jizzle.
Yeah, you're one of the few I will answer to.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, we went to barber school together, man, and we've been connected ever since. And, man, just been able to do dope projects with a guy like that, man, so talented, man. So, I'm just grateful to be here, bro.
All right, so I know we went over this on the first one, but I just give me a two-minute overview on your story and how you got into barbering and then what led you to, like, what changed your life when you really got into being an entrepreneur?
Shoot, man, that's a dope question. Man, I just started at the age of 12, bro. Man, you're like I always say, you ever had a messed up haircut? That's the worst thing on the planet, bro. So, man, I was 12, man. I went to go get me a haircut, man. I walked down the street from my house. I grew up here in North Omaha, and I walked down 24th Street to get a haircut at Mr. Charlie Barbershop, Charlie Fraternity's Barbershop. And, you know, I was real shy kid. And, man, my hair takes forever to grow. You used to always tease me about that anyway. But, you know, my hair always took forever to grow. But I had a little baby afro, bruh. And then I walked up in there, but I wanted a full tape around the sides. And I told the barber that was in there, you know, kind of what I wanted. But he didn't have a visual. He didn't really know what it was. He was an older barber. The cool barber just, you know, was already booked up. You know how that is. Right. Anyway, I was too shy to say I wanted to wait for this other dude. Got in there, told me up, man. I cried walking home, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, man. And then I told my big cuz, I'm like, yo, man, my haircut is messed up. He's like, man, come over. I'm going to fix it. And he's like, all right, cool. So I went over to his house and him try to fix it. And, man, he told me how dope I look. Like, it's clean. So I walk out the bathroom, which is where he cut my hair at. And my grandma like, boy, who cut your head? Don't you ever let that boy cut your head. Since that day, man, I've been my own barber and nobody else ever touched my head. And I found myself after high school, you know, barely making it with a 1.8 GPA and even just not thinking about college. Had basketball opportunities to go places, but just really wasn't trying to do nothing with school because it wasn't my strong point, you know, at that time, just coming from where I come from, the struggles. And after I finally graduated, you know, I did a year just in the real world and realized only job I can get was McDonald's, Popeyes, and Pizza Hut. You know what I mean? It was something more for me. So I seen a commercial that said Joseph's Barber College, man. Me and my big cousin drove down there, and that's voila. We ran into you. Started barber school up and it changed everything for me. So that's my story in short.
Okay. So I know when I was over at your crib last time, when we actually did the podcast in person, you were telling me about, and it blew my mind because you have on the, I guess, to your right behind you, I think that's your first book, the poster for your first book on the wall.
Yeah.
Or no, that's the first one. So you were telling me that you had a handful of other books on the way, and you were like, you gave me a little bit of information, but you didn't give me too much. You were like, we had to wait. Yeah. And it just so happened that as I've been reaching out to you to try to get this episode recorded, that you just dropped another one of your books, right?
Yeah, well, actually...
this is the same. Go ahead. Tell us what you did just launch.
Yeah, so, no, you're right. Last time we talked, I was working on some books, and I ended up writing three books since me and you talked last and completed them. But I'm going to launch them strategically. Okay. What I did just launch was a course, an online course, along with some ebooks that's, you know, giving you details on you know, what I've done. So basically, you know, I've been able to can grow a six-figure barbershop business. And
keep in mind, this is in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska, yeah.
Because that means something. This is one thing if you do it out in L.A., but to do that in the middle of the country in Omaha, Nebraska, like, that's a huge accomplishment.
Most definitely.
Go ahead.
Especially, you know, coming from where we come from and the people that around here, it don't really happen that often.
Right.
But, so yeah, I was able to do that, and I've had success with it and helped other people, you know, grow their barbershop business. And, you know, I've been traveling, you know, all over, you know, speaking and teaching and coaching and all of that stuff like that for the barber and other entrepreneurs. So really it gave me a platform to be able to share what I've known and, you know, all of the failures that I've, you know, encountered and all of the challenges. So I figured, as difficult as it was for me to create, you know, the business that I've created, you know, I mean, I had to travel far and few to find out the strategies and the techniques and the people and, you know, the resources. And I know most people don't have the time or resources or the grit and the grind to do it. So I wanted to, you know, package it up and give other people the opportunity to do such. So I put everything I know into an online video course along with checklists and worksheets and, you know, just everything, the full blueprint, so they can just honestly pick up the course and open up a shop, salon, or heck, if you just want to, you know, do better business behind your barber chair or salon chair, you know, I just package it in a way that you don't have to do all the soul searching.
Right. And for those that don't know, what is the website or the URL where they can find that?
Sure thing. Barbershopsecret.com.
You put the $1 million smile on when you said it. I see you.
It's a secret, bro. I'm trying to tell you, like, you know, most people, I'm going to tell you right now, AJ, like, it's crazy because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just talking to my wife the other day about it, and I was like, man, people really going to be upset with me once it gets in other people's hands, how many tips and strategies and stuff I give away in that package, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really just give you everything you need. Like, I'm talking about, like, drag and drop a business plan that got me money. And, right. You know, all you gotta do is put your name and your business on it and it can get you money. You know,
I
so yeah, so you know, people are gonna be upset because they didn't have it that easy, you know what I'm saying, for this next generation. But for me it was just more, I just want to be able to be helpful to people, you know what I mean? So yeah, right, that's right. The secret.
So tell me, I mean, like, for real, and this was sound like a bullshit question, but like from you to me, like, what drives you so much as an entrepreneur?
Man, building my dream, bro. That's what drives me. Like, I think, let me turn my phone off. I got these electronics, my bad.
That's all good.
That's a good question, man, because I think, like, what drives me most to be an entrepreneur is doing something that I thought about and actually manifested in real life. Like, you know, seeing it in your dream, you know, when you were asleep at night, and it's just a fantasy, you know what I mean? But then whenever you are consistent and persistent enough to keep beating down that door and then you can see or standing in your dream, like, that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing feeling. You know, most people never experience that. Most people only see their dream in their dreams, you know, never in reality.
Right.
So that's what drives me as an entrepreneur. It's like, man, I dreamt this a couple of years ago and now all of a sudden you standing in my dream. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, I get that. I think that's kind of what drives me as a creative. It's the same thing. It's like you have that vision and then to see that vision come to fruition and manifest itself in the physical form. So I even though I am entrepreneur, like, I think I'm more driven on the creative aspect, but I totally understand that. But you know, everybody has different things to drive them. So I was always curious. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, most people believe, like, you got to see it before you believe it, but I think it's just the opposite. I think you got to believe it, you know what I'm saying, before you see it. You know, that's the real vision. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just believe that I can, no matter what. I just believe it, bro. And then once I believe it enough and I do it, it just, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, reinforces it.
Just put them together, bro, because thoughts are things.
Absolutely. Everything manifests. Everything was a thought first before it ever was something. So,
yeah, sure.
I agree with you. So as much as we could talk about it, tell me about it. You always tell, well, since I saw you at your house, you've been telling me that this is going to be your $1 million year or what is, how did you put it?
$1 million year, bro. Look, I'm going to show you something real quick. I'm going to get my car for you, but I'm going to show you something.
Appreciate that.
Oh, okay. again, like it's just like I was saying, like you gotta believe it before you see it. So this is one of the things, like I don't normally, like you see this? Can you see that?
I see it, we see it.
You see it? So, yeah, you know, it's you see what it is, right? It's a dollar bill, but to me, I don't see it as a dollar bill. I see it as a million dollar bill.
Visualization.
You know, so sometimes, like for me, bro, what I understand about life is it's a thought, we're in a thought world. So you gotta, you know, put the thoughts in your head that you want to manifest. So if you've never seen $1 million, if you've never seen $100,000, if you've never seen $100, it doesn't matter the number. But if you've never seen it, it's hard to reach it. It's hard to go after. It's hard to shoot that target. Mm-hmm. Even if you're playing darts, if you don't can't see the dartboard or the bullseye, and you're throwing at it with a blindfold, chances are you're not gonna hit it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can get lucky and hit it, but chances are you might not hit it. So stuff like this, you know, you get a visual of what it even looks like to see those numbers, you know, in your head, to be able to close your eyes and actually have a visual, that makes it okay. That makes it real. So yeah, this is definitely my $1 million year. It might be 1.2 to be real. That's what I got on my head. But you know,
once
you spend a dollar and it's only a million, ain't a million no more.
You're right. That's all in the details. What type of books have you read, or what have been some of the most impactful books that have helped mold your mindset?
Well, you know, I got a library. Look here.
I know. As I figured I'd ask.
But
because I asked that because you just showing me that made me think back to, I know I was still in Omaha. I don't know when it was, but when somebody gave me the book, The Secret, which a lot of people feel a different way about, but I do believe a lot in the laws of attraction and visualizing. And like, because to me, with that show, that is just like somebody having a vision board. Like you have to literally visualize it. So I know for me, that was the first book of many that kind of opened my mind to things. So I'm always interested to hear and share with other people the books that influenced and impacted other people. So that's why I asked.
The most important book I think everybody should read is this one, bro.
Think and Grow Rich.
I think this is the most important. This is like a success Bible. You know what I'm saying? I think every man on earth, every woman on earth should read this book and study it. Like, you know, this is like a book that you can read every day, because every time you read it, it's not that the words change, it's every time you read it, you change. You know what I'm saying? Something in you changes. So you'd be like, oh man, I didn't catch that yesterday, or I didn't catch that last month. You know what I'm saying? Because you're growing, and the more you grow and you go back and read the same thing, it's like you understood, because maybe you went out in the world and experienced something that you read. And then now you can read it again from a different perspective of understanding versus just reading to read. I think this is the most important book that changed everything for me.
Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it at that on that one. One thing I didn't get to ask about last time, I'm trying to keep a straight face while I bring it up, but like your fitness journey. I can't not think about you in the bodybuilder pose. But it's serious, like, on a serious note, like I think it's dope that you at some point along, and I think a lot of times it happens hand in hand, like, you know, it's health, wealth, and wellness. Like once you start getting on the track with one thing, all the other things come in line. But what was it that sparked everything for you to start taking your physical health as serious as you're taking like your financial health and everything else?
So it's two parts to that. You know what I'm saying? At first, like I got fat, bro. Just keep it real. I got fat, man. Like, and my daughter made it be known. It was, that's the first part of it. My daughter was like, one day, you know, and I to be honest, I've always been thin my whole life. I've always been fit, you know what I mean?
Cause I'm happy,
always. But, you know, once I got married, man, I let that happy wife, happy life, eating good, all of that, I let it get to my head, and I was just eating, bro. Just standing crib, go to work, eating good, full course meals. And I started to kind of embrace that image for a while, you know what I mean? Because I was married, got a kid, you know what I mean? I was just embracing that. It was different for me. You know, so funny thing is that I started to get uncomfortable though. Like, man, wait, I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying? And I started to deny myself. Like, I'm not really fat though. Like, I just got a little belly. Like, if I do a couple, you know, sit ups, it'd be gone. But that wasn't true. That wasn't really true at all, bro. Like, my brother used to talk about me, say, I like an Ethiopian, say, like a skinny dude. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Like, dang. So, at first, they were just jokes, man, because, you know, that's all we do is joke. But then one day, my daughter was like, dang, daddy, your belly look like the Grinch. And I was like, what? So she bagging for it. I'm like,
right. But when the kids say, you know, it's coming from a truthful place.
Yeah, because now I couldn't even get her back without hurting her feelings. They ain't had nothing to say, really. But then, like, a little bit later, being watching the movie The Grinch, bro, the cartoon with Jim Carrey, and I'm like, and it just hit me. He had his big old belly, bro, and it was, like, round and hard, but he was thin. I was like, that's what my belly looked like? And it just hit me. I said, I got to get in shape, bro. I don't like that. And that kind of just shifted it for me, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't believe it. I kind of was in denial of my fitness, of me being fat. I just been thin all my life. So that was the first part of me getting fit when I started to lose my weight, and, you know. Right. But I ended up getting hurt. I was doing CrossFit, and I ended up getting hurt, and I got a pinched nerve on my neck. And so when I got that pinched nerve, like,
you know. If you don't mind me asking, just for my personal, like, what were you doing when you actually got hurt?
Well, I was doing CrossFit, so, you know, there's a lot of, like, yanks.
No, like, which workout were you doing, though?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like cleans? Exactly. Oh, okay.
I remember exactly. All I know is I was going every day, and then just one day out the week, I was like, ah, man, it's just, I didn't know which one did it, you know?
Right. Okay, I was just curious for me personally, but go ahead.
I didn't know. So, that's another thing a lot of people ask me, because they're like, I don't know if I want to do it. I'm not discouraging CrossFit, because I enjoyed it. It just, I heard maybe something was too heavy or improper form. It could have been a lot of things.
Right.
But I don't know exactly, but I know I was doing CrossFit at the time. And so I got a pinched nerve in the back of my neck, and it started shooting down my back, my spine, all the way down my arm. And I was in pain, man. I was cutting hair at the barbershop, and I didn't need no sling or something. So I wear button-up shirts just to put my shirt in my arm, just so it make a sling, you know what I mean? Because I was cut with one hand, and it was just so painful. Right. About 3 to 6 months. Seeing doctors and therapy and all of that. So finally, I found a chiropractor to fix me up. So I had arthritis in my neck and a pinched nerve. And after that, it just started off as a challenge at the barbershop. And, you know, it's like, man, you can't do no bodybuilding. And it's like, I can't what? You know, and then that's all it took. You know, because after the injury, you know, I was trying to get back in shape anyway. And it just was a conversation at the barbershop day, like bodybuilding. And so they was like, man, you can't do it. You a hooper. You play basketball. That's take discipline. That take this and that.
Right.
And then somebody said something that, like, to me, that kind of really sparked. It was like, if you do, like, that bodybuilding, it'll help you be disciplined on the journey, your money goals and your financial goals and your business goals. That discipline that it takes to be a bodybuilder, it kind of transcends other things. So that's what, between the competition.
That's all you needed to hear.
That's all I
needed. Icing on the cake.
That was it. So, and that's how I did it. Now you see your boy got all these awards. He's a bodybuilding award, bro.
I see. Hey, as you flex the bicep when you point. I see.
These awards.
Honestly, yo, it looked real small when it's on the wall. That's
no, it ain't small, bro. It's money. It's big money, bro. Hey, big money. This one, actually, this one here particularly, this is the fifth place in the world. I don't know if you knew that. I took in a world, you know, I went to Miami and competed on the stage it was the world. It's called Worlds. So
right.
People came in the island and all across the country.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, so yeah, I got to.
I didn't know that. Congrats. So,
yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, you earned that one.
Yeah, I earned this one. This one.
So I guess that brings me to the next question. How are you working to maintain your health in the middle of the pandemic? I know it's not as bad now, and it's not as bad, or things aren't shut down in Nebraska, but, like, what are things that you've been doing to remain active and remain healthy?
That's a good question. Well, at first, you know, just, I think it's important for me personally, it's important because what I've learned about myself is that if I don't work out, my mental health kind of is shaky. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, like, when I work out, like, everything else just kind of clicks.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I when I don't, and I'm not clicking like I need to, like, I have to do something, because I realize, especially during the time of pandemic, I think most people should really take heed to this, is that, you know, mental health is more important than anything else, period. But, you know, the physical fitness of it, you know, it gives you that clarity in your mind to be able to, you know, eat the right foods. Because once you work out, a lot of times you don't want to eat bad foods, because it's the opposite of working out.
Right.
So if you work out and eat bad food, you just really wasted your workout. So that's what I was trying to do, is I was trying to keep my mental strong, because during the pandemic, you know, it's really easy to go to backslide, to fall back.
Right.
I'm saying, and I was just perfect over the pandemic, because I had a piece of every other day, you know what I'm saying? A large myself, you know what I mean? So, you know, but I still try to keep my mentality up, you know what I mean? So, but I know most people can't eat like that and still maintain, but it, you know, so it also, that's another portion. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just saying, like, keeping that mental is king.
Okay. So, shifting topics all the way into something that we can't avoid right now. We all, well, before we get into everything that's going on right now, I think this ties in directly. I asked you right before we got on what your plans were for today, and you told me you were taking your daughter to the gun range.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. How long you been doing it? Why are you doing it? And
I haven't been doing it. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but I've never got around to it. And then now she's working, so it's really been more difficult. But she's 17, and I just want to make sure I give her the best opportunity to understand, you know, herself, life, protection, you know what I mean? And to, you know, be able to defend herself, in every opportunity, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily just to be at a point of gun, but just to be able to understand, you know, the power of a gun, you know, and the understanding of it, whether it's you using or somebody being, you know, using it for you. I mean, you know, pointed at you, because if you could have the understanding and feel the power of it, you know, you have a different respect for it, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to understand that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I always talk about stuff like, you know, like guns and knives and tools like that. They're not of, you know, like God didn't create those things, right? You know what I mean? But man did. But, you know, but man can kill you, you know what I'm saying? Like a gun bullet can actually kill you. You know what I mean? So if you, you know, not using it in the right way or is being negligent, but it also can save you, you know, it also can protect you. And, you know, so it's good or bad the way, however your mentality is. And
I just want to make it's not innately evil or righteous. It's just all about what is done with it. And a lot of that comes from the knowledge and understanding and responsibility of having it. So
100%. And that's all I want to do is give her that, you know, me as a father, just want to give her that best opportunity. You know, the coaching that I didn't get. You know, stuff I had to learn out myself by being in the streets and having a gun in my head at 15. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, that changed things for me. You know what I mean? Like, I had a gun in my head. Huh?
No, I said absolutely. But go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? So, to make you sit, you know, question your life, you know what I mean, and think about things differently, you know, I would just want to give her, a fighting chance in this world, man. That's all.
No, I respect that. Like, luckily, and tying into all this, you know, my dad was a police officer, so I did get to be exposed to a lot of those things. That for one, I was lucky enough to have a father in the home, and then two, him being a police officer, I got exposed to a lot of those things that other people didn't. So I respect that. Like I remember, it's not a year ago, I don't know where he was, but Killer Mike was giving a talk to somewhere in Atlanta, and I remember it was a big ruckus because people were going back and forth, but he was explaining why Black people weren't ready. And I'm not saying that we should be ready for a revolution or we shouldn't be, but he was explaining to Black people why Black people weren't ready for the revolution. He's like, are you teaching your kids a martial art? Are you teaching them how to be healthy? Are you teaching them how to like hold and handle a weapon? And it's like, these are all these things where I was like, damn, like as a father, like I would love to be able to teach my kids a healthy lifestyle and then how to be financially stable, financially literate. And then I think it's just as important just as a father to teach your children, maybe not that they should be big on guns, but how to handle a gun, how to, you know, how to defend yourself in with or without a weapon. So like whenever I've always, like since barber school, I've always had much respect for you as a father, but even more so now, like, cause I realize these are tough times, and to have a daughter, man, I'd be bald from losing it, from stressing or pulling this shit out. So, like, you got all the respect in the world for me for everything.
100%. I just think, because, you know, like you watch these movies and like for example, like the unsolved mystery type movies and CSI, you know, those are like real cases and real people. And you would see where, like, you know, like women, you know, any age, unfortunately, some, you know, don't know how to protect themselves against, you know, a stronger human, a man, right?
Right.
And that's unfortunate that a man would take advantage of a lady in a way that, you know, give them, you know, any type of advantage and take advantage of them, you know. But then if you also find somebody that's confident in himself, a woman that's confident in herself and know how to protect themselves, it make that man second guess and back up. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of power I wanted to give my daughter, you know what I'm saying? And the people that I influence, is because You know, you don't have to just accept what reality is. You know what I mean? We create our reality. And you Absolutely. Know what I mean? So I want to make sure that, you know, she has those tools, even like financially, you know what I mean? Like,
yo, time out. I just got to say, because I ain't going to be able to see. Happy early Father's Day, bro.
It was dope. You know,
like, it's like, I was thinking, like, we got to start celebrating more fathers in general, but definitely like you. So, yeah, let me be the first to tell you Happy Father's Day, bro. Go ahead.
So, appreciate it. But I was going to say, like, I was reading a book yesterday, right? It's called The Wealth Choice by Dennis Kimbrell. It's a black man's, it's The Wealth Choice, The Wealth Choice Black Millionaire. You should check it out.
I'm typing it into Amazon right now. Go ahead.
I want to get the full title right because I messed it up. It's called, I get it to you. But anyway, in that book, he was saying something about the wealth choice, success secrets of Black Millionaires by Dennis Kimbrell. But anyway, he was talking about, and it was clear to me, right, about, like, especially Black people, we don't set up our heirs, our kids, you know, our family, in a way that they can have success also. Whereas what I mean by that is, like, for example, let's say, you know, I have a business and my, you know, it makes millions or whatever it does. It don't even have to make millions, but I have a business. But if I don't properly prepare my daughter to take over that business through discipline and through, you know, action and understanding, you know what I mean, I'm really failing her, you know what I'm saying, as a parent, because once I'm not able to protect her, or I'm not able to financially provide for her, she don't really know what to do. You see what I'm saying? And you can't just take what I have and use what I got for you, because you don't know how to use it. If I don't teach her how to spend money, teach her how to save money, teach her how to invest money, when she get the money, she gonna blow it. You know what I mean? Right. And that's what most people, we don't do that as a culture too often enough. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to make sure I instill with her at an early age, you know what I mean? So she gets those things. Because, like, I mean, it took me years to figure out how money works, you know what I mean? And I know people, my parents don't even know how money works either, you know what I mean? And once you get in a certain state of mind that your belief of how you feel like money should work, it's difficult to change that, especially as an adult. That's a paradigm.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, no, I'm just figuring it out right now. I mean, we've had those conversations, so yeah, no, I get it, and that's why, like, I appreciate and I applaud even more you as a father passing that down, because, like you said, a lot of us, just even in these times, we didn't get that, and that was, like, we were growing. That was, like, two decades ago, you know, when we were in our adolescence or our younger years, formative years. So right. Yeah, like, you are literally, in the most literal sense, you're being the change that you want to see. So, 100%. I'm in that. So tell me your take on everything that's going on right now, like just the state of the world, you know, George Floyd, and just, which, I mean, we know how we feel as Black men, but, like, not only, like, the issues, but, like, the response to it as well.
Man, that's a loaded question. I think my perspective is, I enjoy, you know, seeing people use their platforms to make a difference, you know, because that's what we do. We're supposed to stand up and speak up, you know. I think that it's an amazing thing that we are now finally understanding that we have a voice. Unfortunately, it had to come at the risk of someone's life, you know. That's a terrifying thing to me. You know what I mean? Like, that it's finally we able to say, hey, this is enough. Like, let's just protest. Let's just do some things. You know, because all lives matter just as much as Black lives matter. And, you know, even when you say Black lives matter, it's not singling out a Latino or, you know, any other race. It's just saying, like, hey, look, it's a great example like this. If it was a white person that lived across the street from me and my house was on fire, but he said, hey, his house is on fire. His house matters too. He's white, but that Black guy's house, it matters. He's burning, but mine's okay. So it's not that when you say Black Lives Matter, you're not saying all people, but at this point, we matter because we're in it, right? Our culture is in it. And I think, you know, it can get the misconception can be, you know, misled, you know, by thinking that, you know, it's a racial thing. It's really not a racial thing. It's really like, hey, look, Black people are suffering right now. you know, and have been for some time. And that's unfortunate. The thing that I that kind of messes me up is that what I don't want to do, and I teach my daughter this, is like, if she protests, if she, you know, wants to do any of those things, I support and stand behind whatever she wants to do. However, my only problem is that she's educated on what she's talking about. She's educated on what she's standing for, because a lot of people right now are following the follower and not being the leader. And I don't want my daughter or anybody, honestly, to follow the follower, because you're following yourself down, you know, the wrong path, and you don't even know really what you're supporting. You don't even know what you're protesting for. So long as you're protesting, as long as you're standing up, you're speaking up, know what you're speaking about, be knowledgeable about the thing. And I support that, man, because it's a tough time, man. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It is. Yeah. I didn't know how strongly or how much things were affecting me until like a week or so ago. I wanted to make like a YouTube video about it. Damn near came to tears. But like, I think it's just one of those things where it builds up. But it is also, especially out here in LA, like when you see, like, if you've been to LA and you've been on like Hollywood Boulevard, like when it's busy, like there's cars and there's people, but like yesterday, like, or just every weekend in the last few weeks, like when you see the streets just flooded with people just like out there peacefully, like when you can see that, like it does warm my heart. But my concern is everybody, well, most people's concern right now is, you know, I don't want this to just be a moment. And especially when you have a window when like there's such a following and there's such a outcry and outpouring right now, and we are 5 months away from probably one of the biggest and most important elections of our lifetimes thus far. It's like my concern and what I'm trying to figure out is how we can all, and we meaning like I'm thinking specifically about me, to do my part to carry this moment and this movement and this change on to actually, well, this moment on to actually make real change. Because I honestly, like, I'm not convinced enough right now of everything that I see that Donald Trump isn't gonna be president again. And I don't even want to get into politics, but I say that to say, as big as a movement as there is right now, if it doesn't lead to change from the top, then what good was it really? So I say that to say, I'm trying to figure out how I can do my part to make sure that this creates lasting and impactful change. And it, you know, not that I can do a lot, but it all starts with one person. If everybody does their part, then it grows from there. So that's just kind of where I'm at and figuring everything out.
I think like, it's beautiful. 100%.
Go ahead.
Like you said, hold on a second. My dog is messing with me, getting on my nerves. And then jumped up in my lap.
All good.
I think what you said, like, so it's funny that you said that because before all of this happened with Floyd and stuff like that, during the pandemic, you know, some of the things that I was studying was Black history, which is crazy because then you fast forward to be in this situation that we're in right now. So I was watching on Netflix, like Selma and, you know, Harriet Tubman, and all of these just different Black movies, you know what I mean? Those times back then. And so for me to get, my bad.
It's all good.
For me to get all of that information and understanding, and then you fast forward 30 days later, it's real life for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. Like I was learning and relearning and, you know, getting a new understanding of some things that I might have missed, you know, just through Black history through the years. You know what I mean? So like, I'm at that point, or at this point, like I'm extremely current with what everything is as far as when it comes to racial and the rights and the movements and the protesting. So I was like, I was watching those movies. It's like I was in the I was right there in line. And then to come and then it happened in real world, in the real world, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. It's like one of my clients said something to me like this the other day. It was like, we go from having a Black president, which is the most amazing thing that we can ever have done as far as an accomplishment is, you know, I mean, equality. And then now we go back 20 years or 200 years, she said, you know, into, you know, back into slavery times, like with this protest and stuff like that. It's like, that's crazy to even think. Right. When she said it like that, I was like, wow, that is crazy. You know, like to see like, what I think we're missing, my opinion, and this is just my opinion, what I think we're missing is the, is like those leaders, like those Malcolm X's, those, you know, those Dr. King's, those Harriet Tubman's, you know, those people that had their voice and wouldn't back down and wouldn't, you know, move, you know, on their stance for the culture. You know, everybody has a voice right now, but some of the loudest voices are the followers and not the leaders. You know what I'm saying? You know, so like, but ultimately, if we're still talking about the problem, you know what I mean, that's going on in the world, we're not ever getting to a solution. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I think what should be happening more of is having more conversations about how can we solve this problem? You know, not like, hey, this is the problem, this is the problem, this is the problem. Okay, we identified the problem, but what's the solution? Let's have conversations about the solution. And until that happens, man, it's not going to be a lot of big, it's not going to be many changes, you know, because it's.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, problems don't solve problems. Solutions solve problems.
Yeah. I always tell people like, I even have problems just having conversations with people because I agree in the same way. Like there's only so long that you can harp on a problem. Like, you have to obviously identify a problem to find a solution, but at some point you do have to be working from a solution-based mindset. So I definitely agree. And that's, and I totally agree. That is one of the drawbacks to, in this time, one of the few drawbacks to like social media is like the sea of voices is so loud that it is harder. Like take for instance, the Blackout Tuesday, the issue they had, like everybody was posting, but they, with the, everybody co-opting the Black Lives Matter hashtag, a lot of people couldn't find the actual information that was there because there was such a sea of all of that just arbitrary information out there. So the same thing with the voices, but that's why I feel like it's almost as important to be more selfless for those that have a platform, and I don't have a platform, but I have a skill set that creates a platform. But for us to be unselfish enough to help push those that need the platform up there. So that, like, you know, I don't know if you saw, but I think I sent it to you. Like, I put a video, like, I'm literally trying to find causes and people now that I can put my video skills to help elevate their message and get that out there. Because I feel like, you know, that's one of the biggest things. It's easier for me to do it because I work in visual media, but some people, maybe it's reposting something, but I definitely think that is something that we have to figure out as to how is to first to identify those people and then help or those causes or those groups or those organizations and then elevate those so that we can help amplify their messages to get those in front of the right people.
Agreed, 100%, 100%. And like I said, it's going to take everybody, you know, to do their part. You know, like one of the things that I do is just like in my barbershop, you know what I mean? Like I'm educating in the shop, you know, consistently, you know, and that's my platform. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got
that is people underestimate how much of a conduit for information the barbershop is for Black men. Yeah. So like that's powerful, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a social media platform too, but I chose not to, you know, go that route. I chose to just be face to face in the business of what I have, where my biggest influence is. You know, my biggest influence isn't on social media. My biggest influence is face-to-face. You know, like when a person hear me speak, you know, like I speak straight to their soul. And I know that now I'm about myself, you know what I'm saying? So that's my biggest impact. Like if I can be the spark, kind of like what Pac said, if I can be that spark that can spark the person that makes the change, I've done my job, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I might not change the world myself, but, you know, I mean, if I could just be that voice, and that voice might be a little kid is in my chair or mom or dad or, you know, whomever. But, you know, the point is that I never went silent on speaking. I just chose, you know, how I would do it. Yeah. You know, and obviously nothing
wrong. Absolutely. No, not at all. I mean, we all have to, like, you know me, you put me in a room full of people, I'm quiet, but yeah. I speak through my visual art. So it's like, if that's, you know, we all have to do what is going to be the best for us and what's going to be the most impactful. So I totally understand it.
Yeah, so most definitely.
Well, bro, before we sign off, give me once again, let me know what you're working on, where we can share, where we can find all this information at.
Yes, sir. So I'm building out this online platform, man. So what I'm about to start doing is start taking other entrepreneurs and helping them find a message, build a dream, and change their world. So that's my message. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm strategically going to be focusing on barbers, stylists, and entrepreneurs. That's my niche. I'm niching down in that. I'm not really touching anybody outside of that parameter, you know, because I can relate to those people, you know. So I have courses and I'm doing coaching. And at this point, my coaching is expensive because I want those people that I can help. You know, I want them to help, you know, build their dream. And I don't want to come at a cheap rate because I don't want you to take me not serious, because I am serious. As goofy as I am, I'm serious about building dreams and creating stuff, and, you know, and making them happen. So you can find me on social media at Arthur Lau, ArthurLauInspires.com. You know, check out my courses. I got multiple courses for every, you know, aspect. I got entrepreneur courses for barbers, stylists, and if you want to write a book, you know, whatever it is that you want, my content works specifically for you and your niche. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm putting it all on a platform, you know, online, so, you know, people can have easy access to it. And that's my story, bro. That's what I'm doing.
All right, bro. Well, I look forward to catching up for part 3 sooner than later.
Yeah, man.
But in the meantime, keep doing what you're doing, bro. I appreciate everything you're doing.
I appreciate you too, bro. Hey, matter of fact, real quick. So tell me, what could a person do to help and support your business, my friend? Like, how can I be helpful and support, you know, what you're doing?
That'll be a whole nother long conversation. But I just said this to my boy in the last episode. I will never forget this time period in my life, not only because of the pandemic and all this George Floyd stuff. Like, this is a life-changing time in life, but this is also the time I am changing my life. So you and I have had personal conversations in the sense that I am pretty much stepping away from barbering right now, and I am getting into doing this visual media full time. So right now I'm in the middle of like building the site, setting the prices and the services. And I think after that, which will be sometime next month, just once I get a few more pieces in place, I guess just help amplify that. Getting the word out there, just, you know, showing the work that I'm doing. And if you see people that can benefit from the service, you know, connect me with them. But beyond that, you know, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen.
You know, I'm a marketing genius, bro. So, you know, that's what I do. And, that's what I do. Matter of fact, I definitely, you know, help show you. I got a social media course that I've done. I'm gonna give it to you for free, my bro. I'm gonna give you the course.
I appreciate that.
You know, everything you need to do is how to leverage your business on each platform, bro. It's amazing. It's high level. It's definitely gonna take your business and what you're trying to do to the next level with no fear, bro. All you gotta do is follow the system.
That is exactly what I need, because you know I hate being on social media. So yeah. Contrary to how it looks right now, but yeah. So no, yeah. I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that.
100%. Hey, I want to give your audience a free gift, man. I'm gonna give them my book for free. I don't know what side it's on. So I'm gonna shoot you the link and you can just drop it. But it's called The Cutting Edge: Sharp Strategies to How to Take You from Struggles to Success. It's not just for barbers; it's for anybody that has a dream. And I just basically tell a transparent story on how I built my dream through barbering, using some simple tactics and techniques and strategies. That now at this point I mastered, but at that time I was just learning them. And it's a great book, man. So I want to give your audience a free book, and all they got to do is go to thecuttingedge.com and get it. And I'm send you the link. I'll send you a bit.ly link that you can share wherever you want to share, and they all get one for free. Okay.
Perfect. I appreciate you, bro. Send me all of that, and I'll make sure it goes on the video and in the description as well.
Cool beans, bro. 100%.
All right, sure. Enjoy your day. I'll talk to you soon.